All right. It is May 29th, I believe. Friday, May 29, 2020. And, yeah, it's been another sabbatical. I've been doing that a lot lately. And, it's because there's been a crap ton of crap going on. And, wow, I hope you could have heard that audio, because my volume was all the way down. If not, Friday, May 29, all right. Yeah, there's been a crap ton of crap going on, and I suppose I've been sitting on my thoughts long enough to make comments about it. And at the end of the day, ultimately, one thing I've been struggling with is I don't really personally believe that my comments about any of this stuff are really that important, because I'm really not that important in the grand scheme of things. But that being said, I still want to talk about what I think, because I think that has value. And I think everybody who's got a brain and they're actively using it should be talking about stuff. I think I'll start with the George Floyd situation, you know, the senseless murder of that guy, and then I suppose I'll talk more about the Wuhan flu, or the boogeyman virus. But what I'm seeing play out with George Floyd is there's no way to talk about it unless you use race, and that's the number one problem. That is the first problem. We couldn't just say that a man killed another, a police officer killed a man in Minneapolis or whatever suburb it was in. Probably Minneapolis. I've listened to the audio. It's a horrible thing. I can't bring myself to watch it, to watch the video. But the overall point is you can't talk about this issue unless you talk about race. And that, to me, is the number one problem. Yes, it's horrible that this man died, and I feel for, you know, anybody of any color getting killed like that. Absolutely tragic and horrible. And then the response by a lot of people, looting and rioting and burning things down, whatever, that's equally terrible. And I'll get into that too. But, you know, every week in the worst parts of Chicago, worse things are going on. Equally terrible. Children being killed, a 4-year-old girl being shot in the head. Or if you look at some of the gang violence done by MS-13, where they'll do a satanic ritual with a baby and behead the baby after they have their way with it, which I won't go into detail on because I start getting sick to my stomach. You know, they'll behead the baby and leave the head on the doorstep of the mother, because it's an initiation for them into, you know, they got to impress their boss, or they got to impress the audience. It's kind of like on the movie Avengers, where Loki is doing all this manipulative, twisted stuff against the Avengers because he has an audience. The audience is, you know, the alien race in space looking down. You know, he went and contracted with a boss to have some backup, you know, to wreak some havoc. Well, he had to do an initiation first. The initiation was go and manipulate, you know, an event on a mass scale. You know, those subtle things are in the movies, they're in the books. And that is a rabbit trail, but that's how gangs operate, especially big ones. MS-13, you know, the Democratic Party will, you know, conscript elements of the MS-13 gang to, you know, go do a few things for them. And if they do a good job, then, you know, they're rewarded by having, you know, dominance and control of a certain area, let's say of Los Angeles or a, you you know, a border town in Texas or whatever. And then if that area is controlled by the Democrats, then, you know, mysteriously ICE doesn't show up there. Or they don't get ticketed or pulled over or deported if they're driving drunk and kill somebody, or, you know, because they did a job. And that job granted them some immunities and some privileges. But rabbit trail done. It's about hyping racial tension. And race can always be used for a greater goal. And it furthers the divide and conquer of the nation. I saw a meme this morning. Tomi Lahren, who is a white girl, a white conservative, she said, how does looting, you know, help the situation at all? Valid point. It doesn't. It's wrong. It's criminal. Martin Luther King Jr. would not be condoning this type of behavior. If he were alive today and he saw this event, it would be, you know, blacks and whites and Asians and Latinos and, you know, browns and pinks locking arms, walking down a street, blocking traffic. You know, that's as extreme as it would get to bring awareness to what had happened. It wouldn't be looting a bunch of stores. Well, then the reply to that comment was from a black girl, from a brown person towards a pink person. The reply was, well, we tried peacefully kneeling, but you guys had a problem with that as well. Which was a reference to Colin Kaepernick kneeling. And then I like how suddenly everything Colin Kaepernick stood for is somehow valid. But I never disagreed with Colin Kaepernick kneeling. He has free speech. And he was peacefully demonstrating his free speech. But the main point is this event, horrible as it is, isn't as bad as what happens in Chicago on a weekly basis. It's not as bad as what happens in, you know, gang-controlled areas of Los Angeles or, you know, near the Mexico border on a weekly basis. It's not as bad as there being, you know, a 250,000 person grave in the deserts of Mexico and the U.S. of people trying to cross into our border. It's not as bad as the fact that there's children locked up in basements, not only all over America for the black market, you know, currency of the realm that we currently live in, but all over the planet. It's not as bad as that. And, you know, Joseph Stalin said, you know, one man dies, it's a tragedy. 10,000 die, it's a statistic. Or 10 million die, it's a statistic, or whatever. What that means is they can take one death and humanize the person and inflame the entire nation and, you know, have a gigantic response. So they can take, you know, one thing, magnify it with a gigantic magnifying glass, hype it up everywhere, let every social media platform just pass it around and make it go viral and get everybody inflamed to have a gigantic response. The response being a bunch of brown people decide to loot and riot. You know, they take advantage of the situation, and there were some whites involved in that too. You know, I'm going to call them browns and pinks. Because number one, their skin isn't black, it's brown. And when I'm not tan, I'm pink. So it's browns and pinks for me now. I'm not going to succumb to the language police and say I have to call this group of people this and then that group of people that. It's browns and pinks to me in this situation. So you had a bunch of opportunistic browns and pinks that can, you know, go and decimate, destroy, and take advantage of the crisis. And That's all a result of the media choosing to take this video that someone shot, which, honestly, that person's more guilty than anybody. You know, I can just sit here with a camera and watch this guy kill this guy. Watch this pink kill this brown. Completely asinine. If you want to get pissed at the camera guy. Should have been a mob of people jumping on that pink guy, hurting that brown guy. But every other issue that we have, every other problem, is not ever talked about. I mean, there's just, if you don't know what's going on, if you aren't aware of the myriad of issues that are out there, this one thing can take you by storm and can sweep you off your feet, and you get carried away in the emotions. And that does not mean, what I'm not saying is that you can't care or that you can't feel for this George Floyd, that you can't get upset. Yeah, I'm upset about it. No one should be treated that way. And a dickhole cop shouldn't be able to get away with that behavior. He looked like, you know, from what I saw, from what I did see, dude looked like a low IQ, you know, an 80 IQ moron. But then now this event can be used to further divide the country, to further divide the nation. Division, division, division. And then I think it was actually about 2 weeks ago on my personal Facebook page that, you know, as all this Wuhan flu this whole narrative started to fall apart with all these numbers and the fact that not as many people are sick, and there's all these protests going on in all these, you know, blue states against governors, and protests at their capital, and you know, redress of grievances on a mass scale, you know, being flooded on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, everywhere. The media can take all of that, you know, light that was being shown on all this tyranny and redirect everybody away with an emotional event. So if you have a memory at all, or if you're paying attention in the least, you saw this boogeyman virus thing fall flat on its face. You know, first it was 5 million are going to die, then it was 2 million, then it was 200,000, then it was 100,000, and it turns out nurses and hospitals are so bored, so empty, that they're making TikTok videos. But we've all got to wear a mask, and we've all got to social distance. We've all got to do all this rigmarole, and nobody wants to do it, besides a few Karens. We should call it the Karenavirus instead of coronavirus, because it just caused a bunch of Karens to come out of the closet and start barking at people. That was all falling on its face. That was all falling flat. 98% of the comments on social media towards Bill Gates were negative, because they think he's a creep that wants to kill people, which is true. So they use the Stalinist tactic to say, you know, take one death, hyperhumanize it, and distract everybody. So there's my thoughts on that. And it's disheartening to see people get so swept away so easily. And it creates, you know, the media can just create a fake line in the sand that you've got to be on this side or this side. When I feel like I'm in a tree, you know, watching the media do this, you know, hype everybody up and sweep people away emotionally. If you're not aware of it, you're going to be put into a camp unbeknownst to you. You're going to be in this camp or that camp. You know, they got to dumb everything down. You can't be a sentient thinking person that's looking at these things objectively. You have to be an emotional Karen, an emotional basket case, whatever color you are, so you can be controlled. And I don't really know. I tried to engage somebody who I think kind of leans left, you know, about how issues like this are taken advantage of. And maybe I need to get into that. You know, it was, I'll repeat, because I'm pretty sure I've said this before, it was Rahm Emanuel, governor of Chicago or mayor, or governor of Illinois or mayor of Chicago, I can't remember which, ballet dancing Jewish guy who was unsuccessful in that career, who said, never let a crisis go to waste. And that's exactly what the media has done with this situation. Well, both situations, the Karen virus and George Floyd. Anytime there's a crisis, there's an opportunistic type person ready to take advantage of the situation. Whether it's, you know, brown and pink rioters going into stores and stealing a bunch of stuff, whipping up the mob. This all follows everything I've ever said. And as I talk about it, a lot of it's coming, you know, it rings more and more true. Like, I initially saw a thing where you can whip up a mob or you can divide and conquer. And it's literally so simple. Those two truths are so simple that you see these things played out over and over and over in various flavors, if you will. And it's funny, if you talk about it on a platform of sorts, like I have, it solidifies how you're going to see it later. That's been interesting too. Like, you know, I saw a thing. I think I originally said, I see a there. And now, however many months later, it's still the same operating system. It's still the same thing. Whip up the mob and divide and conquer. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to fall victim to that. But I should touch on, you know, I haven't dove deep into, you know, some of the more eerie side of things, but in other planned protests, you know, a leftist organization like Starbucks, you know, will be on, you know, George Soros's payroll, and they'll allow, you know, Antifa to go wreck, you know, this storefront of a Starbucks because they'll get reimbursed for it, because it solidifies and makes the grassroots emotional mob look more legit. And, you know, Target has been a fairly leftist organization as of late, you know, promoting the LGBTQ P for plus, we're told, which is actually pedophilia. I could see Target, I could see a grassroots, it's fake grassroots, by the way. I could see a leftist funded grassroots, you know, rent-a-mob being told, okay, now we can burn this dumpster, that dumpster, deface this building, that building, and by the way, we paid off Target, you can go destroy that store. Because that's what George Soros does. He funds and has organizations, you know, under the table, handshake, agree that, yeah, if there's a riot or if there's a situation where you can advance your cause, you know, if you just pay us ahead of time, you know, we'll let you deface and destroy our store. I don't know if any of that funny business went on this time with Mr. George Floyd, you know, in Minneapolis, but It wouldn't surprise me, honestly. And if you don't believe that they, that there's groups out there playing dirty tricks like this, you're crazy. Because it's happening. You know, there's rent-a-mobs. Where a group like Antifa, you know, the founder of the group knows where his paycheck's coming from. You know, it's from a democratic organization that got George Soros's money. And he ironically runs an organization called Open Society, which is an absolute joke because everything he does is shady, backhanded, dark, and under the table. And the people doing the provocateuring, you know, is a low-level idiot who actually believes that they're fighting fascists. All the while, the, you know, the founder of Antifa is on somebody's payroll. And it could be the Koch brothers, that's KOCH, Koch Brother Libertarian Wing that wants open borders. And they're purely libertarian, and it's used as a, you know, a cover of conservatism to actually promote leftism. Like, this stuff gets twisted. But your average Facebook user is just gonna get emotionally inflamed by the death of a brown man at the hands of a pink man. So, like, just everything I've talked about so far, I know it's been scatterbrained because it's 4 a.m. for me, but if you listen to this and you go back and listen, you'll see multiple layers, you know, of a hierarchy of control that's going on here. For me and you, at the bottom of the pyramid, we see the death of a person, and it's outrageous, it's outlandish, it's horrible. But at the top of the pyramid, it's groups doing rent-a-mobs, it's groups, you know, steering and controlling the masses of people. It's control. It's at the bottom of the barrel, it's control. So I guess all in all, you need to ask yourself, are you being controlled by the narrative? Are your emotions being inflamed because that's what somebody wants? And can you compartmentalize yourself? Can you be sophisticated? Can you use your higher mind, you know, the spark of divinity in your brain that God gave you to say, okay, what's going on here? I am very upset about the death of, you know, this man who didn't get a fair trial, who wasn't presumed innocent until proven guilty, whose rights are completely destroyed and his life ultimately taken, as far as we know. Can I compartmentalize those emotions and then look and watch and see how the result can actually carry out a greater agenda, which is wrong as well? Can we look and see through the 50 shades of gray, if you will, and stop trying to look at everything as if it's black and white? I think that's the ultimate faux pas here. That is the ultimate fake thing. That is the ultimate false game. You know, the fake chessboard is black versus white. This isn't a black and white issue. It's not so simplistic. And I think I kind of cracked a zeitgeist when I said it's actually brown and pink, whereas the media wants you to think it's black and white. It's not black and white, it's brown and pink. You know, maybe that even needs to be, maybe I even need to make a big deal about that. You know, African American people aren't black, they're brown. And white people aren't white, they're peach and pink. But we've all been conditioned to use these terms, you know, black and white, to be told that this issue is black and white. not just with race, but it's either you think this or you're wrong. That's what I mean by black and white. It's not a black and white issue. It's 50 shades of gray. And there's 600 million things going on in this one national event. How it's covering up for another failed event, or how it's a deflection and a diversion for how the all these numbers of this worldwide pandemic are falling flat on its face. It's whoa, man. Whoa.